Father in heaven, thank you so much for everything. Each one of us can take an account in our lives of the blessings that you have bestowed on us, and this morning we are grateful. We're grateful for life, we're grateful for family, we're grateful for friends and our church family here. We're just grateful for life this morning, Lord, even if that means pain, we're grateful for life. We're grateful for the knowledge that you've created us to be very special, and that you have a plan for us, and that you want to use us to shine your love in this world. Father, help us to listen to your voice each day, to come to you and say, God, do you have something to say to me? And then, Lord, just mold us and make us into those people who are receptive to that, and who, in our own unique way, live out the plan that you've made for us, whether that's in giving a hug, giving food from the food bank, maybe weed-eating someone's yard, maybe helping with a donation, sharing a tract, sharing our experience of you with someone who's unknowing of you. So many ways, Lord, to serve you. So, Father, just guide us, direct us, and I pray a special blessing on Tom today as he brings a message from his heart. I pray that you would just help him to really speak what he has on his mind and his heart, to be able to have the words to say, that they would come from you, and that, Lord, we would each hear that sermon that we need to hear this morning, that encouragement, that uplifting, that desire that's awakened in us even more to follow you. And we just pray for your spirit to be our leader and our guider and the one that moves on us this morning to do what you want to do. So thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you today. Yesterday, as I was driving home from, I want to say a special hello to Toadie Mitchell this morning, first thing. It's good to see you, Toadie, and we're glad that you're with us today, and also the Carpenters, it's good to see you today also. Yesterday, I was on the way home from Fresno, and some things happened real fast along on the freeway, or on the road, and I just come up past Nipponawasi, and I saw this little red car go by, and I knew it was Rebecca. She was on her way home. She wasn't speeding. I want you to know that. But it was just, I was kind of, I don't know what I was doing. I was thinking, probably thinking about today. But she was going the other way, and about a minute or two later, I get this little bring on my phone, and so it was a little text said, saw you. It was like, and then I texted her back, saw you too, and it was just a cute little hello, and I appreciate that, because it was nice to have somebody recognize me going, what's that?
Texting while driving.
I don't know. The verse we're going to go to today is quite a few verses from John and 1 John. But I want you to go to John chapter 4, where we were for the children's story. In John chapter 4, this is a very interesting passage to me because of the deep meaning that it has in my life personally. When I was a senior in high school, this was the first time I really read this passage with meaning in my life, and I was reading about this this lady who comes and talks to Jesus, and Jesus is so kind in how he explains to her the concept of eternal life and where eternal life comes from, and she's going, you know, I really want this water, and And in verse 26, he says, you know, she says, when the Christ comes, he'll declare all things to us. And he says, you know, I am that person. And that verse to me just really grabbed a hold of me in a special way. And it really made a big difference in my life. And the next passage in that, where it says in verse 28, it says, the woman left her water pot and she went into the city to tell everybody this. And she says, come to see a man that knows everything. And when I read that passage and took in that information into my heart, it just was an amazing thing, because God really does know everything about each one of us. And he really wants to just really put his living water inside of us and flush out anything that's unrighteous. And he wants us to be filled with his love. And every time when I read that passage, I remember that time in my life. And it's always an encouragement to me. And the story of this person just helps me know that God is really willing to work with every one of us. There's nobody that God's not willing to work with. He wants to help each one of us. I want you to go to, we're going to change the scripture order just for a second. Go to 1 John chapter 3. This is the title of our sermon today. The title of our sermon is called It's Obvious. And the verse comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. You'll see it on the screen. It says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. And when we think about that obviousness, or how obvious is our life to other people, sometimes I wonder, and I think, do people really know that I'm a Christian? Do people really know that I really want to serve Jesus Christ with all my heart? I think I shared with you a little while ago, I had a gentleman that came to see me, and a friend of his asked me to help him out with some dental needs that he had. So he says, this friend of mine doesn't have very much money, and can you just help him out? And so I did that. And the other day, that gentleman came back into my office for a checkup, and I was just checking the work that we had done. And he wanted to just talk to me, and he says, I want the bill. And I said, well, there is no bill. And he goes, why isn't there a bill? He says, well, your friend asked me to help you. And so I said that I would help you and there wouldn't be any charge for the service that I did. This gentleman prays with me every time he comes in. He prays the same prayer. I don't have it written down to pray for you, but it's the sweetest little prayer that he prays for me. And every day before he leaves my office, he prays a blessing for me. And I'll tell you, it really charges me up for the day, because whenever he comes in, it was a little bit awkward the first couple times, because he said, can I pray for you? And I said, sure. And so he prayed this prayer, and then the next time he came in, he prayed the same prayer. And whenever I see his name on the schedule, I really look forward to that, because I know that it's a very sincere prayer. And the other day when he was in the office, he wrote me this nice little letter. And it's whenever a patient writes me a letter, I really cherish it. And I read them at times when I need encouragement. And because sometimes dentistry isn't all that encouraging. I'm sure you know that when you go to the dentist, it's not always very fun. But my goal is to help you as a person so that you can have a healthy mouth. But he just wrote this nice little letter, and he says, I want you to know that you're a Christian dentist. And that really touched my heart. And I really felt like he recognized my desire to really help him as a person. And I wanted him to know that I really appreciated that. And so that I wanted it to be obvious to other people that I'm a Christian. And so I just want people to know that I serve Jesus Christ. And I know there are different people that come to see my office, and I don't manipulate people when I have my hands in their mouth. But we do have conversations, my assistant and I, and we talk about God together sometimes while we're working on different people. And but I really want people to feel the love of Jesus Christ. That's really what I want people to feel. You know, if you will go with me to John or Acts chapter 3, we're going to look there now. I shared this story with our teenagers this week. And it's about the lame man that's healed. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, this is soon after the day of Pentecost, and they're on their way up to the temple to pray. And they see this man that's being carried in, and he's been lame since the day he was born. And he's about 40 years old, so he has never walked in his entire life. And they bring him up to the gate, and he's begging for money. That's how, you know, I guess he can't work. And so he's begging for alms. And Peter and John come up to the gate, and they see him, and they look at him. And I don't know where they got the impression from the Spirit, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they look at him, and they say, you know, we don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he's immediately healed. And this is a person, okay, that's never walked. I don't know if you remember when you learned how to walk. I don't. But I do remember watching my children learn how to walk. In fact, I remember the first day that Andrew ever walked. I just happened to be home at lunch, and he was standing up and kind of, you know how they kind of walk around the edge of a chair, but they don't let go of the chair. And I don't know. I guess I just put my hands out, and he turned and started walking. And it was the coolest thing to see that happen. Well, can you imagine this person? This guy is just, first of all, he goes kind of crazy. He kind of starts walking and leaping. And they actually go into the temple. And you know, I think he was actually running around and jumping and dancing in church, which was really not the thing to do in the temple. But can you imagine just how much he was excited? You know, he had just really felt the power of that life spring of Jesus Christ come into his life, and he could not contain himself. I mean, he had 40 years of walking to make up for. And so he is just going crazy, and he's jumping, and he's leaping, and he's hanging on to Peter and John. And I'm sure Peter and John are like, you know, they're getting dragged around all over the place. And in chapter 4, this interesting thing. The leadership didn't really like what went on, and so they put him in jail. He and Peter and John, they put him in jail. Can you imagine? He's in jail all night long, and I'm sure that he probably didn't even sleep because he had 40 years of walking to make up for. And so he's you know, Peter and John, they're like, oh, when is this guy going to settle down? Because they had said, you know, what is it? Don't you see that it's Jesus Christ that's healed this person? So they come out the next morning, and they bring him into the Sanhedrin, which, you know, these are the big guys. This is Caiaphas, and they're saying, you know, they stand him in the middle, and he's probably, you know, I'm sure he's just moving, you know. He's not going to hold still. He can't hold still. He's got to do something with these legs that he hasn't been able to use. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 7, they ask him, they say, by what power or what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, by the name of Jesus Christ, in verse 10, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. And there, in verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You see, there's just no other option. Christianity is the only ticket to heaven. And you know, there's a lot of different options out in our world today, but I can only say from my own personal experience that I believe that Jesus Christ is our ticket to heaven. And in, if we go over into verse, let's see, where are we here? They tell them that they can't talk anymore, and they threaten them. And in verse 20, they say, "We can't stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." They had to speak what was obvious to them. It became obvious to them when they saw Jesus crucified and raised from the dead that they needed to, they couldn't keep it inside themselves. And in this one experience of this man being healed, 5,000 men, it says in chapter 4, verse 4, it says 5,000 people believed in Jesus Christ that day. And if there's one other verse that's really, really interesting in this passage. If you'll turn to it, it's in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and they understood that they were uneducated and untrained, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." I personally think that that is the ticket to making our life more obvious for Jesus Christ. The other day I was talking to Rod Whitfield, my friend, and we were talking about something. He says, "When I get an impression from the Lord, I just do it." He says, "I don't think about it anymore. I don't talk about it or anything." He says, "I just do it." You're kind of an impulsive person. But you know what? When Jesus gives us an impulse, we need to act on that impulse. When Jesus gives us that thought that we need to share with someone about him, we need to act on that. One time before Callie and I were married, I can't remember, we were driving across the valley somewhere. I think we were on the way back from Yosemite to back to PUC, I think. It's a long time ago. I just remember the experience. Here's what happened. We stopped at a gas station. And a young man was helping us fill up the gas tank. That was in the days when they had full-service gas stations. Now you know that was really a long time ago. But this guy was telling me about how, just how bad his life was going. And he just was, and all the troubles and the struggles that he was having in his life. And he was really discouraged. And I sat there and went, And I never said one word about God to him. And I really regret that to this day, because I had an opportunity and God placed me right next to the filler hose with this guy. And I didn't say anything. And I was so unobvious to him. God had set me up right there so I'd have a chance to say something. I'm sure he sent somebody else. But I had a chance to share Jesus with him. And I didn't do it. And I really kicked myself sometimes for that. And so I needed a big flush of God's Spirit to come through me to flush out that timidness. That, I don't know what you want to call it, just reluctance or being afraid to share with somebody else. And so I needed to drink in some more of the living word into my life. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to just look at the book of 1 John for a few minutes today. 1 John is really an interesting scripture, because it talks so much about God's love and talks about abiding with Jesus Christ. In the very beginning, the very first verse, John 1:1, it says, "From the beginning we have seen and we have heard and we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." Can you imagine that, just being able to be actually a part of walking with Jesus day after day and actually being a part of seeing him in action? I can just imagine that must have been amazing to the disciples. And they say, we have fellowship with him, that connection that nothing else can ever bring, that connection of abiding with Jesus Christ. John is very clear in verses 5 through 9 that he says, if you think you don't have any trouble, don't deceive yourself, because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But we need to confess ourselves and to be cleansed. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in verse 9. And then he talks and goes into chapter 2, and he talks about abiding. In chapter 2, verse 6, that if we abide with Christ, and we say that we abide with Christ, we ought to walk as he walked. What do you think, if you're thinking in your mind, what do you think it means to walk like Jesus walked? Have any idea about that? What do you think, to walk like Jesus walked? How did Jesus walk in this world? He spent most of his time making a difference in other people's lives, and most of his time helping people that were less fortunate. And so as we go to chapter 3, we see in verse 1 that we have this super love that's poured out in our hearts so that we can be called sons of God. That's like saying, you're an ambassador for me. And in verse 3, it says something that's very interesting to me. Turn to chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And then he tells us the secret for avoiding sin, and that's to abide with him, in verse 6. But the passage that I want us to go to for a few minutes, go on down to verse 10, which is the first verse we read in John. It says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Verse 11 says, for this is the message which we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I know that everybody has their own idea of what it really means to love, but John explains it quite well in this passage. He says, we know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love abides in death. You know, that's an interesting passage to me, because it's that death means that there's no vibrancy. There's no aliveness to the person. There's just nothing that is going to be exciting about that individual. They're dead. John chapter 5, verse 24 says that if we have Jesus Christ, we have passed from death into life. You see, we have the special privilege of being able to have eternal life now. We don't have the body of eternal life. We don't have a perfect body, but we have the experience of eternal life in our lives right now, if we have Jesus Christ living in us. That means that we have the great blessing of being able to pass that on to somebody else. We may die a physical death, but we're not going to die the second death. We might die a first death, but not a second death. But we have the ability to live almost with reckless abandon, because we got it made, right? If you have eternal life, what have you got to lose? You have nothing to lose. So you could live as if there was nothing to lose. So look at how John talks about this in chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us love not with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. I want to read you a little song that I heard on the radio. You have to be a young person to understand this song, or to know what this is. Written by a guy named Matthew West. How many young people know Matthew West? Okay, there we go. See, it's called. I'm just going to read the words to you. I heard it on K-Love the other day, and I thought, I listen to K-Love because I want to keep up. I want to be a young person, kind of. I try and it's best I can. I know I'm getting older, but I keep trying. But this song has some incredible words to it. It's called My Own Little World. In my own little world, it hardly ever rains. I've never gone hungry, always felt safe. I've got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population me. I try to stay awake during Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yeah, it's easy to do when it's population me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose I could be living right now, outside of my own little world? Then the second verse. I stopped at a red light, looked out my window, saw a cardboard sign, said, "Help this homeless widow." Above that sign was the face of a human. And I thought to myself, God, what have I been doing? So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by? I gave her some money, then I drove on through. And my own little world reached population two. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose I should be living right now? Outside my own little world, my own little world. Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me open hands and open doors. And put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose that I could be living right now? Well, I don't want to miss what matters. I want to be reaching out, showing the greater purpose so I could start living right now outside my own little world. I don't know how each one of us is going to live outside of ourselves, but I think God has the coolest plan for our congregation right here. You see, if we were all population one right now, and we were all to take one person and become population two, that would mean that we'd have to have a second service at our church. And you know what that would mean? It would mean that there'd be twice as many people on the road to eternity with Jesus Christ. That's what's really important. Not that we have a second service. We could have 10 services, and that would be the coolest thing. But the main thing is that we're not just living for ourselves. You see, John and Peter, when they looked at the man that was lame at the temple, they could have just walked by him, just like I didn't talk to the guy at the gas station. I can tell you, I have driven by people many times at stop signs that have the cardboard paper, and it's really easy for me to do. And I don't know if I should stop and help everybody with what they where they are at the corner, at the stoplight. But I do know one thing, that God wants to use each one of us in a way that's beyond ourselves. Think of yourself as God's agent out there to make a difference in somebody else's life. Like for you guys at Wawona, I mean, think about it. You have the greatest deal going on earth. I mean, people pay to come up and let you talk to them about Jesus. I mean, that's the best thing going, isn't it? I think that we all have tremendous opportunities, each one of us in our own sphere. And I just want to encourage you to be population two. Be obvious to other people. Don't be a secret agent. Be an obvious agent to other people. God wants us to have a passion for Him and to share that passion with other people. I want to read you a really cool passage. It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see, that word victory is been made into a business. It has made billions and billions of dollars. Because that's the only place in the scripture where it uses the word Nike. Now, if you like Nike shoes, then you will love this verse because it's the only place in the Bible where the word Nike is used. And the word victory has been used and made billions of dollars by that industry, that shoe company. And I think we should make it an opportunity for us to have victory and win souls for Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you this week as you go out, change your population point of view. Make yourself a population that's looking to expand yourself to a second person, a second member of God's family. So look for somebody this week. God is going to put it out there for you. Open your eyes. Take a drink every morning. When I get up in the morning before I go to work, I go in my little office and I take a drink of God's word every morning because I want to be a fresh spring. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be stale. When I stop my car at the office in the morning, before I get out of the car, I just say, "Lord, I don't know what you got planned today, but it's probably not going to be what's on my schedule." Most every day, rarely does my schedule go according to plan. But something always happens that God gives an opportunity to share His love. So be excited when that change comes. Just embrace it and encourage it. And I just want you to hear some of those stories when it happens. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're mowing the yard for somebody else. It doesn't matter whether you're weed whacking. It doesn't matter whether you're getting ready to hand out food on Tuesday for the food bank. Whatever God has you doing, just take advantage of it because God's put you there for a reason. God wants you to share His love with somebody else. Lord Jesus, today, we just thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You for all You've done for us. Thank You for setting us the perfect example. And Lord, we want to love because You first loved us. And we just pray that as we go out, that You would provide that opportunity for us to love another person. We know that there is many opportunities to just be population one, but we want to be population two. And population 200 and 2 million, we just want to be used by You our entire lives. So give us that power. Give us that fresh spring of living water flowing up inside of us to eternal life so that we can just have that flow out to other people, Lord. We want to be on Your team today, and we just ask that You would guide us through this day. Thank You for every blessing You give to us, and may Your smile be on our face today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.